The same fear that would take the heart from me. A day may come when the courage of men fails. But it is not this day.
We defend this city, not to protect these stones, but the people living within these walls. Knights,
the gift of freedom is yours by right.
If this be our destiny, then so be it. But let history remember that as free men, we chose to make it so.
We will show the Sky People that they cannot take whatever they want. And that this is our land.
That was cool. This is a message, a series, a group of teachings that's been on my heart for a really long time. Actually, it was probably 3 years ago that I asked you the question, what would it look like if we came into church looking on the outside like we felt on the inside? I'm guessing that most of us wouldn't look as put together as we do sitting here this morning. As a matter of fact, the guy that posed that question to me said we probably come in looking a lot more like we were crawling off of the battlefield. And then about 2 years ago, I heard a quote that really impacted the way that I interact with others. And it was simply, be kind, because everyone is fighting a great battle. And as I prayed through the realities of the battles that we face, I thought, you know, we do a lot in our lives to live the way that Christ calls us to live, but I don't know that we've ever really thought about or taken the time to learn how to battle the way he calls us to battle. It's really easy to live like Christians when life is good, when things are going our way. We want to be around other Christians. We're all about God's teaching. We want to be involved in forming our lives around the person of Jesus and the way he calls us to live. But as soon as life gets tough, a lot of times we resort to fighting the way culture tells us to fight. We're ashamed of the battles that we fight. We're ashamed of the struggles that we face. It's all about what we can do to fix it. We fight alone. And so I thought I wanted to get into the scriptures and look at what God calls us to do when we face these struggles, what God calls us to do when we face battles in our life, because the reality is all of us do. Nobody is sitting here this morning that isn't fighting some kind of battle in their life. And I don't know what it is, but you do. Take a moment just to reflect on that. What's your battle right now? What is it that you're struggling through life with? That you're doing your best to keep your head above water, but you really just don't know how to handle it. I'm fairly certain that every person that's sitting in this room probably has something in their mind right now. Because all of us fight battles. We all have something that we're facing, something that we're dealing with. In case you wonder, if other people are fighting the same battles that you're fighting or have another battle. Maybe there's people that you just think, there's no way that that person struggles. They look so well put together. They're always happy. They can't have problems. I'm here to tell you that that is not true. And I would never break confidence with anything that anybody's ever shared with me, but I'm just telling you right now that some of the people that you think have it well put together are the ones that struggle the greatest. And I'll leave it at that. Today, though, I want to focus on a very important piece of battling, and that's identifying who it is we're battling. Who is it that we come up against when we face struggles and trials and battles in our life? Who is it that we're fighting? A lot like the first step in a 12-step program or in any addiction counseling program, we have to admit to ourselves that the battle is real. I think that's step one. We have to. And so my prayer for you this morning is that as you're sitting there and you have identified your battle and you just think, man, I'm the only one that's struggling. Nobody else around me is going through these kinds of problems. I just want you to at least be open to the idea that you're not alone. That the battle is real in everyone's life. But who is it that we're focusing our fighting on? When you have a hard time, who is it that you fight against? I want to start with who the battle's not with. It's not with God. And I've heard, as a pastor, I've heard, why does God let this stuff happen? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? If God is so good, why do we see things like war and famine and the list goes on? God is not the reason for these things. I'm convinced that he's the reason that they're not worse. God is not our enemy. God fights for us. Deuteronomy 1:4 says that, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." So when bad things happen and life gets hard and we ask the question, why God? We need to remember that God is on the front lines, fighting against those very things that would come into our lives to harm us, to steal our joy, to take away our hope. God's out there fighting on our behalf. God's the reason that good can begin to appear out of the bad. He turns all things for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Which gives me hope. If I find myself in the middle of a struggle, that's one of the verses that I turn to. And I say, God, I love you. And I know I'm called according to your purpose, and so I know that this situation that I'm in right now is going to be turned for your good. That you will use this to call attention to yourself, to call attention to your power, to your sovereignty. And maybe you're not going to remove me from this situation, but you're going to use it to impact others for your kingdom. God is the one who rides into battle ahead of us, fighting for us and against those who would harm us. Romans 8:31 and 32 says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God doesn't even spare his own son in the plan to bring good into our lives. What wouldn't he give up to fight for our good? And if Paul is right, which I'm sure he is, the answer is nothing. He wouldn't give up. There's nothing that he wouldn't give up to help you realize the good that he's calling you to. God is not the enemy. God is not the cause of the battle, but he's the one who wins the battle. The battle began in Genesis 3. We've talked about this many times. The battle begins when the tempter comes in and convinces Eve that she can be like God. And from that moment on, we were at odds. We had a battle on our hands. But even then, God already gave the plan for the way out. He says, the heel of your son is going to crush this serpent's head. It's already over before it started. Not only does he fight for us, not only does he fight against our enemies, but while he's fighting, he calls us to rest in him. Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What above anything else, what other than battle can cause weariness and heaviness in our lives? It's because of the struggles that we face that we find ourselves weary. And in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of those battles, God says, hold on a minute. Come and rest. Come and rest in me while I take care of these things. Come and rest in me while I restore your hope. Come and rest in me while I restore your joy and your peace. Let me use your situation to show other people how good I am. Will you let me? God is for our good. God is for our good. It's not God, but the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, came to give us life and give it to the full. Our battle is also not with one another. God is for us, and he desires that we should be for one another. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I'm not fighting you, and you're not fighting me, and we're not fighting others. We're called to be for one another, to build up the church, to stand strong shoulder to shoulder with you, with each other, united against those that would come and harm us. There are 59 one another statements in the NIV version of the New Testament. 59. 59 calls to be for each other. 20 of them deal with loving each other. So I think we're supposed to love each other. We're also told to, I'll run through a few of them, be at peace with each other, build up one another, accept one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, regard one another as more important than yourself, forgive one another, encourage one another, seek good for one another, be hospitable to one another, and clothe yourselves in humility toward one another, and to have fellowship with one another. Now, when I read those statements and I see the way that we tend to battle against the struggles of life, I think we got it backwards. Because a lot of times we take the things that we're going through and we hide them and we bury them and we don't like to talk about them because it's embarrassing and it's scary and what will they think of me? But God says, that's backwards. Do life together. Not just the good part of life, but all of life. Do it together. Be with each other. Be for each other. Be the shoulder to lean on when they can't stand up on their own. And of course, the author of Ecclesiastes has a really good point to make about this. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We are better together than we will ever be on our own. We are stronger together than we will ever be on our own. And when you are facing a battle, when you are struggling through life, when you can barely keep your head above water, and everything inside of you says, this is mine to fight, tell that voice no. and share that battle with someone. Talk about it. Bear each other's burdens. Pray together. Lift each other up. I think you already knew we were going to get here. The battle's with Satan. The battle's with evil. It's with the serpent in the garden. It's with the fallen angel, the tempter, the liar, the deceiver. Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a real enemy. And it's not God, and it's not each other. But he's out there. God gives us life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've said this to you before, but I want to make sure that it's very clear. Satan's job is not to make your life hard. It's not. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. His job is to kill you. And if you have an easy life, but you're not living for God, he's going to leave you alone. Because you're doing the work for him. When Satan attacks, it's because you are following what God wants you to do. When Satan attacks, we ought to feel good. Because that means he's afraid. He's scared of what God's doing in and through you and around you. If you have an easy life of sin, he won't even bother with you. We've been fooled into thinking that if we just don't follow God with passion, that the enemy will leave us alone. And that's true. But it's because his work is done. Don't look at your life from a temporary perspective. Don't look at your life and think, as long as today is good, I'm fine. Because we are eternal beings and we have an eternal fate. And just because you stop following God and life gets easier doesn't mean that the end is going to be very good for you. I would much rather you fight your battles now and end up in eternity than put the battle off until the end, because that's a battle you won't win. James, the brother of Jesus, tells us that to resist the devil and he will flee from you. He doesn't say, stop following Jesus. He doesn't say, stop doing the stuff that's making life so hard. That's just silly. He doesn't say that. He says, when the devil comes, resist him. Do what Jesus did. Speak truth to the devil. Hey, buddy, you've already lost. You can do a lot of things to make life hard for me, and that's fine. But you've already lost. I'm serving the winner. Satan may have the power of death on his side. But as the author of Hebrews reminds us, through death, Jesus destroyed him. Not only did Jesus beat Satan, but he beat him with his own weapon. The only power Satan has over this world is death, and that's the exact weapon Jesus used to defeat him. The age-old battle that began in Genesis 3. And Jesus won. But the most dangerous enemy is a beaten enemy. And Satan knows that he's defeated, and he knows that one day he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire once and for all, and so he's fighting dirty. He wants to take as many of us as he can with him. He doesn't fight fair. He's not going to come right to your front door and knock and say, hey, you want to come with me? He's going to fool you into thinking that you should fear the battle. That you should be embarrassed about what you're struggling with. That you should be unsure about trusting one another with your struggles. That you shouldn't trust God is for your good. He's going to convince you that you should be too proud to reveal that you have shortcomings. And that you should keep your shame inside and put on your brave face. But he's a liar. Satan is the enemy that we battle. Satan is the one who the war is with. But he doesn't fight alone. We also have a battle with our flesh and with sin. Galatians 5 says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." The spirit and our flesh are in conflict with each other. There is a battle there. Our flesh desires sin because it desires to be in the place of God. It wants our attention. It wants our devotion. And it has a very loud voice. Paul writes in Romans 7 where he talks about his struggle with the flesh. He talks about this very reality of battling against the things that he doesn't want to do. He says, "When we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work, so that we bore fruit for death." When I read that, it sounds a lot like Genesis 3 when Eve falls. The sinful passions aroused by the law. "You shall not eat from this tree." Did God really say you shouldn't eat from this tree? It's not what he says. It's because your eyes will be open and you can be like him. Her passion to be like God, to have enlightenment, overpowered her and she gave in. And she bore fruit for death. But Jesus changes this. Jesus changes this. And Paul goes on to write later in Romans 7, "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who did it, but the sin living in me that does it." Satan is the enemy, yes. But sometimes we give Satan a little bit too much credit. Because sometimes a battle that we think we're fighting against Satan with is really a battle that's happening inside of our own heart. One that we're fighting against our flesh, against our sin nature, our sinful desire. Don't be too proud to share your struggles. Don't be so focused on yourself that you miss the kingdom work that is out there and available for you to participate in. And sometimes the best way and the easiest way to win the battle that you're struggling with in your flesh is to help someone else fight theirs. We belong to this thing called the body of Christ. And none of us have all of the tools and resources inside of ourselves to win every battle. But I might have the tool that you need to win your battle, and you might have the tool that I need to win my battle. And Satan would love it if we just kept our battles from each other and tried to figure it out on our own. But God tells us, and Joy reminded us this morning, that we're called to bear with each other. To go through this journey called life together. We're the church, the body of Christ, the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Not just when things are good, but in life, period. So throughout this series, I want to look into the scriptures and into real life battles. And I want us to study what we battle for, where the battle is fought, why we battle, and how to battle well. These are the things that we're going to cover over the next few weeks. And as you leave here today, I want to encourage you to take some time to prayerfully consider what it is that you're battling and what your next step might be. Nothing is too small or insignificant. If it's a struggle that you're facing, if it's something that is removing you from placing yourself in God's presence and in fellowship with your church, with the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, then it's a battle that needs to be shared and needs to be won. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you are a powerful God that fights on my behalf. And Lord, I pray as we go through these next few weeks, Lord, and we study the scriptures on how you call us to fight our battles, I pray that we would learn, that we would be transformed and changed, that we would fight the way you call us to fight. And Lord, that through the victories that we find, that you would get the glory and that glory would spread to others that don't know you. And as we're released from our battles, Lord, I pray that we're willing to go to battle with others. There is a real fight for souls in this world. And the enemy that's defeated wants to take as many people as he can with him. And Lord, we're part of the plan to keep that from happening. And as overwhelming and awe-inspiring as that is, Lord, help us to be thankful for that and to take that call seriously. Help us to go to prayer for and with each other, to bear with one another, to stand strong as your church. And all the praise and glory and honor are yours. In Jesus' name, amen.